This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Great day to be alive. It's a great day to be a better. Welcome inside to the VSiN studios here at the D Bar Canada in downtown Las Vegas. Femi Abebefe alongside Jared Smith. We're filling in for the boys, Patrick Maher, Dustin Swettleton, enjoying some nice time off. Jared, how are we doing today, man? We got some fun stuff going on. Home run derby tonight.
Yeah.
Major League Baseball All-Star game tomorrow down there in Texas. But how are we doing, man?
I'm doing good. This is kind of like a weird, it feels like an off week, but I'll be honest, I'm just working. Like, it's just like I should just be like doing nothing all week. Like, I texted a couple of my professional gambler friends about, you know, opinions on certain things, and they're just like, earmuffs, I don't want to hear it this week, because everyone's like kind of in that summer mode and an all-star break. But I don't know. Maybe it's just because I'm a degenerate that I can't stay away.
So you're obviously,
we're doing the show, so we have to have something to talk about. I did another show this morning. It's actually a very busy week for me because, you know, I'm like the B squad. So when everyone goes on vacation, that's when I do most of my work, and everyone's on vacation this week. So I'm working more than usual.
Whoa.
So I was going to take a vacation this week, but no, forget
whoa,
that.
Oh, you're A in our heart.
Well, exactly. I appreciate that one.
Exactly.
But unfortunately, that's not the reality of the situation.
So then
I have to live in reality. But your reality sounds very nice. I like that. I like that part of reality.
Do you go on vacation when everyone comes back then? Is that, do you have
something
no, that
because
you can
then
look
I'm hoping
to?
That they actually call me, because then it's actually, no, I'm just kidding. I do plenty of stuff during regular hours as well. I'm obviously being a little bit facetious here.
Yeah.
On a Monday as we try to get this week started. But no, this is a fun week. I think tonight's a really good event. I think of all the all-star events, I think this is number one on my power ratings in terms of bettable. Right, we do the segment on VSiN Primetime, bettable, forgettable. I think of all of the all-star events, and there are other ones that have value. I'm not knocking, you know, the NBA three-point competition, et cetera, the, you know, some of the other things, Pro Bowl, NHL.
They even let us bet anything in the Pro Bowl now,
yeah,
with it being like a tug of war and all that weird stuff
they do. NBA is the only other one that really holds a candle, but I prefer the home run derby to all of the other NBA events.
Yeah, I would say the 3-point shootout. Like, they're neck and neck for me. Like, I like to dabble
1A,
in
1B.
Both.
Yeah, 100%. I agree.
100%. Yeah, tonight should be a fun night. We'll get into the home run derby throughout the course of the 3 hours. I know, Jared, you've been hard at work breaking down the pitchers who will be pitching to the Sluggers tonight down there in Arlington.
Yeah.
We will get your thoughts as you kind of map out where we can potentially find some value. But we also have a couple of guests on the program today as well. 15 minutes from now, our buddy Jonathan Von Tobel, VSiN senior NBA analyst, co-host of VSiN Primetime. He'll check in with us. We'll talk about some summer league. NBA win totals just came out yesterday at DraftKings. That was fun in the afternoon, seeing the tweets come out. I was like,
you
wow.
See any movement yet? I haven't tracked it.
I saw a little bit of movement on one
saw
team.
Saw some movement.
We'll talk about it a little bit later on the show. But I did see one, because there was one team in particular that I was really looking forward to seeing what their win total was going to be at. And I checked it again before I drove over here today, and I saw the go up one win, a full win already.
Oh.
So people are...
That's spicy already. A whole win?
I don't know.
Just the odds, the full win?
The full win.
That's it. That's a big move.
We shall see. I don't know what the limits are right now since it's so early in the offseason.
Well, you'd imagine they took a pretty bet for it to move a full win. You would think that maybe it goes from, like, I don't know what they started at, if they were 10-cent splits or not, but you'd go from maybe minus 110 to minus 120 first. But you go a full win.
Full win. Full win.
That's an aggressive move on day one of the market.
And I'll go out and say this might be room to go even higher.
Well, I mean, now I'm intrigued. I
might
have to make
room
a trip
to go
across
higher.
To our old, you know, the old access road there off there in the Lake Meads Access Center.
check out Jared on the border of Arizona and Nevada.
I've made many trips across there before. There's a bet tonight on DraftKings that I was curious about. Maybe I'll have to do a double.
I'm right there with you, brother. making that trip. That 90 minutes to 2 hours.
Like the Wabash Access
I usually go to the Kingman one, I believe.
Kingman Wash.
The real ones
road.
In Nevada, no. The real ones in Vegas,
Kingman
no.
Wash.
Where you got to go ahead and get access to more of these markets, but I digress. Hour number two, Nick Whalen, senior analyst for RotoWire. He also hosts SiriusXM's NBA show. He'll join us. We'll talk NBA, but also talk some NFL with Nick Whalen as well. He dabbles in a little bit of everything, so we'll get some hardwood, we'll get some gridiron with Nick Whalen to start hour number two. But before we get into tonight's action, what we're looking forward to tonight, news of the day, were you into the Euros this past month? You were into the. So what did you make of the final yesterday?
So soccer, I've had like a weird journey with soccer. The pandemic is when I literally started betting soccer in the pandemic. I've been betting all the other sports since I was like 16, baseball especially. So I have, you know, to me, soccer is like a new thing betting-wise for me, really just the last 4 or 5 years. It's an intriguing sport. I think when you looked at the tournament that we just had, the Euro is, to me, the most bettable of all of them because they're all, for the most part, play the same style. The European nations, to me, are much more disciplined and drilled. I think the South American teams, like the Copa, you know, Central America, South America, I think that's a little more wide open of a style, just the part of the country or the part of the world they play in. I just think it's a more wide open game. So a little bit harder for me to handicap. I like betting the Euro. Spain was the better side. I think England was spunky throughout the entire tournament. Upstart underdog, maybe want to compare them to like a team like Michigan that has all the talent, but you know, needed to have like an amazing performance in the championship game to get over the hump. I know you're not. I'm getting a look here from Wyatt. He does not like that. You didn't like that I compared England to Michigan there?
We got a ring. Where's Penn State's ring?
I'm not making this a college thing. I'm just telling you like the style that England plays compared to Spain, which I think is a little more wide open, like in an SEC. Just trying to make a football-to-football comparison here. You know, I'm not talking about championships. Michigan clearly has theirs, but the SEC has more.
You know, so you were talking about the style of play, but in terms of just, like, the overall, like, the aura of the team and the program, I would honestly compare England to, like, the University of Texas football.
Okay,
Or to the New York Knicks basketball, the Dallas Cowboys in the NFL. Teams that have lofty, lofty expectations that they will never, ever meet, and just fan bases that are like, why can't we ever get it done? Like, that's England. England has not won a major tournament since 1966.
That's second... Like, half was bonkers.
It was an unbelievable final.
Bad day for the crowd that thinks soccer is boring.
I mean, it's the beautiful game for a reason. I love it. Like my brother grew up playing it. My dad was always a fan of it. So even though, like, I played football in high school, I threw discus. Nobody's ever going to see me and look at me and say that was a soccer player. But I enjoyed it, and I was able to get a nice appreciation for the game watching it with them. And like, I've loved soccer.
I like
Premier
your comparison
League,
better
Champions
than mine.
League,
Cowboys.
You
know? I like the Cowboys comparison a lot.
Haven't won in a while. Have lofty expectations. In an area where they think that they invented the sport, just like how Texas think they invented football, England thinks they invented soccer. That's how it is. That's how it is.
America's team, I guess the fact that it's a country designation,
100%.
It makes sense.
They have like that kind of like the cachet that's probably undeserved right now.
But let's be honest, like they made it to the final and they were a breath away from winning. Can't say the same about the Cowboys anytime recently.
Cannot. But like they've been saying, football has not come home since 1966.
No, it really hasn't.
At least it hasn't been that long for the Dallas Cowboys.
So I bet both teams to score yesterday at plus money. That prop cashed in all four matches for England and Spain in the knockout round. To me, like, I'm not going to pat myself on the back for being up a couple units after a 30-bet sample in the Euro, but I do think it is one of those events that – even if you're not a soccer follower, I think it is possible to get up to speed very quickly because you're only dealing with a short amount of teams in a short amount of time span there. And the tourney format does give you, to me, there's value in the tourney formats because the strategy is very obvious in what the teams are trying to accomplish. Now, once you get to the knockout stage, obviously things tighten up, but there's fewer matches in the knockout stage compared to the group stage. So I think that's where you want to try to make your hay. Won't have to worry about it for another 2 years, but when we get to the World Cup, to me, that's an event that, you know, it's in a time of year where there ain't a lot else going on. I know it was when it was in Qatar, it was in November, which was unique, but that was a one-off thing. We'll go back to the summer coming 2026, right?
It's not here in
Vegas, but LA, New York, Kansas City, it's kind of all over
the
country.
It's a North America World Cup with USA, Mexico, Canada.
But how is the USA even going to compete in it, or is they going to be a disaster again?
Who knows? We got time
to
figure it out. But time is running out.
They get the automatic qualifier.
We'll be in there. We will be there. Yeah, we will be there.
So at least they'll be in the field. Thank goodness.
But it's going to be a different format though with the World Cup. There'll be 48 teams as opposed to the 32 that it's been. I believe since 1998 was when they went to 32 teams. So
didn't know that.
There'll be more countries involved, more groups involved. I think it's going to be a massive betting event when it comes in 2 years, especially the fact that it's here in our own time zones. We don't have to wake up super early for it. There's going to be primetime matches. I can't wait. It's going to be absolutely electric, the World Cup. But I did find it was interesting, though, because England, after the group stages, because I went ahead, I had no futures market bet or anything like that leading into the tournament. Because, like, hey, I want to see how this plays out. I haven't watched as much Premier League, Champions League, Serie A, La Liga as I usually do. So I was kind of a little bit, you know, apprehensive of diving into the markets. But once you saw the knockout stage format, one side of the bracket was so loaded.
Yeah, that's why I liked England.
And then England was on a side where if they just get past the Netherlands, they can get to the final, and there's no guarantee that they even play the Netherlands. Now, they ended up doing so. They had the late match winner there with Ollie Watkins to get to the final. But yeah, England, I bet them plus 425
yep.
after the group stage, which was similar to their price pre-tournament of like plus 450.
Yep.
So you got the data of what the actual path was going to be to ultimately win the tournament. Now, I went ahead and bet a lot of Spain yesterday before yep. the match because just like I tried to look at it from a lens of, all right, if I didn't have any bet, what would I bet in this match? I'm like, Spain has been the much better
Spain
team.
Spain was the best team
in this tournament. So I bet minus 140 for a good chunk to, like, honestly, hard hedge to just, like, win nothing on England and just to win a little bit on Spain. So we were able to get home on that one. But
fantastic.
There was something well wonky. There was actually something wonky with the tournament and the betting stand of it. Because I don't know if you've followed the goal scorer markets, like the top goal
yeah.
scorer or the golden boot. So there's actually a differentiation between the two. Top goal scorer usually for the sports books is like dead heat rules. Like, hey, if it's tied, we'll pay out like dead heat
sure.
with this 4-5, 6-way tie. The golden boot typically has gone to the top goal scorer, but if it's tied, there's tiebreakers involved of, all right, who has the most assists between the two players.
So
and then also,
was it different?
So it's different. So it's different.
Wow.
And also, the second tiebreaker is the most minutes played. Like, so if you played fewer
yep,
minutes, you actually
I know
get
minutes
the edge.
Played counts.
But UEFA came out and actually said, we're just going to award it to all guys that are tied. So typically, because I bet Golden Boot winner, I had Cody Gakpo at like 11-1, and I thought I was cooked because Dani Olmo for Spain had more assists.
Had
I was like,
minutes.
I was going into the match. I was like, oh, I'm already cooked. I can't win. And then I checked like 30 minutes after the match, and I got paid out dead heat. Because UEFA decided to close that loophole like
awesome.
A day before the final match. It was absolutely insane.
It's rare that you get on the positive side of
a dead
like
heat.
That.
Positive side of a dead heat. It was awesome
nice.
Stuff there. But on the other side, JVD joins us to break down all things hardwood here on Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Get ready to win big this NFL season with a VSiN Pro subscription. Sign up on our football special before the end of July and get full VSiN Pro access from now through the Super Bowl for an early bird discount of $175. That saves you nearly 50% off the monthly price. With VSiN Pro, you'll gain access to daily best bets, exclusive betting splits, data from professional handicappers, 24/7 video content, and all of our special edition betting guides, like our new NFL betting guide packed with detailed team, division, and conference analysis, plus season win totals, futures, props, and awards best bets. It's all in there. Go to vsin.com/subscribe. Once again, early bird discount, $175, but you have to do it before the end of July. Welcome back. This is Sharp Money. Femi Abebefe, Jared Smith, and hey, our buddy Jonathan Von Tobel, VSiN senior NBA analyst, co-host of VSiN Primetime, which you can check out Monday through Friday. Weekdays, obviously, I said that, 6 to 9 Eastern time. But this week, you guys, you and Tim are on Follow the Money, so make sure you check that out,
yes.
7 to 10 Eastern time. JVT, how we doing? What's up, man?
Well, I'm good. You know, I'm actually, I get to go play in the All-Star Invitational that Mike Palm puts together, a little blackjack tournament, so
nice.
I'll be going over there when I'm done here. I'm terrible.
I had to give him a rain check on that. I said,
yeah.
I'm doing Sharp Money, buddy.
Yeah, I'm terrible at it, but hey, I'm going to get some free slot play, so that's all that matters. But no, I'm doing good, and we got NCAA football coming out later today, so we got a lot going on.
Absolutely.
A lot going on.
I we're going to talk about NCAA football because we have to. This is like for millennial men, this is like a national holiday. But I do want to get your thoughts real quick before we get to the NBA. The Olympic team, the U.S. men's basketball team, played
yep.
Australia in Abu Dhabi earlier today. Got a little hairy after they had a comfortable lead. They only win 98-92. Australia covers very easily. It was 20.5. They only lose by 6. Any cause for concern with Team USA after yesterday's outing?
I mean, I'm not really ever concerned in friendlies because you just don't know what you're working on, right? You don't know what you're messing
yeah.
with. I didn't watch the game in detail. I was going to watch it a little bit later today, so I only have the box score to go off of. But I do think that overall this team's going to be fine. And the fact that you're a team that is going to be built from your defense first and then going forward, I think it's a really good way to do it with FIBA basketball, right? Like, we know the way the rules are changed. You have a ton of depth up front when it comes to your forwards and your centers. I think you're going to be able to dominate in this format with the way that you play. So I wouldn't take anything crazy away from it. Remember going into the 2020 Olympics, I believe it was Australia they lost to. In the first friendly, everybody was freaking out, right? The country was in a terrible spot. This is crazy. How is the world beating us? And then they went on to win gold that
yeah.
year. So I think they're going to be perfectly fine. Friendlies, and it's like preseason, right? You never know if the pitcher's coming out and just going, I'm just throwing straight sliders today to work on something. Same thing here. You don't know if they're working on key things just to see how we will work against different coverages and whatnot.
Well, speaking of preseason, Summer League, it's not that, but it kind of feels like the pre-preseason. And we've talked about this before with these kind of offshoot events. There's value, especially if you know the rosters and you've done a ton of legwork with the rosters, and I think you know, you posted a bunch of it on VSiN.com, but I'm assuming you tweeted out a lot of it as well. Overall, before we get into today's card, like, has this been a normal summer league handicapping wise based on the years past that you've done? Is there any quirks, any nuances that we should be aware of?
No, I mean, there hasn't really been anything like crazy different. I would say the nuance would be a team like it that's playing today. So the Houston Rockets for me have been an auto bet when these lines get hung,
okay,
because they are the highest rated team, yeah, out here. You have Cam Whitmore, you have Reed Sheppard, who has, he hasn't even hit the ground running. He's hitting the ground sprinting. He has, yeah, been awesome in his first two games. He's been absolutely unbelievable. They by far have the best roster, it would seem, in the NBA Summer League. Now, it is dependent on whether or not they keep playing these guys. Because
yeah,
Cam Whitmore is the reigning Summer League MVP. He was awesome last year, and he is a guy that played for them a season ago and should, yeah, have a role on this team. Same thing with Reed Sheppard. So always a worry there is going to be that maybe we get a report that those two aren't going to play. But today, for example, Jared, you know, I bet the Rockets minus 5.5, minus 6. It's up to, I think, 8.
8.5 now at DraftKings.
Yeah, these things move quick, yeah, especially with these highest-rated teams. And that's something I'd recommend. Like, we only got a couple of games left. But for a team like Houston, if that number is going to open anywhere in the range of, like, 4.5 or 5, which is a fair number here in a summer league setting,
yep,
I would just almost immediately blindly go to it because that number is going to move up in that regard. But that's pretty much it. I think when it comes to it, there's not been anything crazy. You know, we're pretty even in terms of favorites and overs and unders and things like that.
Totals, kind of. I'm, yep, seeing 170s, 180s. Is that kind of the, yep, fair value
pretty
there?
Pretty fair. I mean, you're getting some really extremes. So the other day, actually, I think we had a game in regulation that had 233 points, and then we had,
oh,
another,
wow,
game in regulation that had 140 points.
So, and it's like, the same timing rules. The regular,
yeah,
season, right?
Sport. Yeah,
yeah.
So, well, no, we have 10 minute quarters.
Okay,
yep.
So shorter.
And
shorter.
Elam ending in overtime. So that's the other,
oh,
part about it. So,
okay.
But I think it's been really what you kind of expect so far. Evaluate the rosters, as you said, find the best players. And that's really what it is. There's no sweet science. I just,
yeah,
look at it and go, yeah, roster's better. And then I bet him. And like, that's pretty much it.
We're hanging out with JBT, VSiN senior NBA analyst, co-host of VSiN Primetime. Check him out on VSiN.com as well with all of his written work. Right now, the Summer League favorite is the Orlando Magic plus 450. The Rockets 5-1. They've joined them. You mentioned Reed Sheppard. He's hit the ground sprinting.
He's been awesome.
Any NBA rookie of the year for you with Reed Sheppard?
Ooh.
Will he have an avenue for that? Because I know the Rockets, they do have a lot of depth there, and some people may think that the team could be a surprising team this upcoming season. Reed Sheppard right now 8-1 over at DraftKings.
So you mentioned why I have some pause with it, which is Summer League is one thing, but what's his role for Houston,
yeah,
when the,
yeah,
season gets started, right? Like, this is a team that's accelerated itself into, you know, its so-called phase three, which is we want to win, we want to win now. And you look at some of these, by the way, we haven't even seen the fact that they have all of this stuff. They could go try to get still somebody else. You know,
yeah,
you could go and try to pry a guy from a team with all the draft capital that you have. So I don't think that Reed Sheppard's role is going to be massive. So at 8-1, Femi, that's where I kind of be like, eh, you know, I want a little bit more on a guy who's going to be coming off of the bench, a rookie, with a whole bunch of dudes in front of him and with a team that clearly has a message of compete for a championship now. And so I think once the season begins, you'll probably see his odds drift back out to those double digits because his role's not going to be as big, and then you can go in and get it because maybe his role grows. But at the current price for Sheppard, I would say no. But I'll say this. I mean, I think they got a dude because he's doing,
yeah,
everything. Like, you see him, if a guy is going to go, you know, going to go under screen, then he's going to pull up. If you're seeing him get a guy on his hip, he knows exactly what to do with him. He knows exactly where guys are. His assists are wonderful. He had 5 steals the other night. Like, he knows exactly what he's doing, man. I absolutely love his game so far. So, rookie of the year, him's not so much. There's some other guys I think are worth it. But I think overall, he's going to be a really good player.
Win totals dropped today. Celtics to Thunder at the top. How about that? Thunder, top-rated win total, at least in the Western Conference. Bottom of the barrel looks like Nets, Blazers, Wizards. And then, of course, you just get, you know, all the teams there in the middle. We've seen some movement already here. Anything jump out to you early on?
Well, I haven't looked at them over yet. What's Memphis?
We see Grizzlies
are in the
40-ish
range.
Yeah, 46.5.
Yeah,
little juice to the under.
So Grizzlies are going to kind of be my pick here.
Okay.
Going, like, I've got a future on them already to win the whole entire thing. They're going to be a team that I think is forgotten in this whole grand scheme of a Western Conference. That is absolutely awesome. But this is a team that last year, they failed because they got unhealthy, right? Like, you had John Morant get injured. You had Marcus Smart get injured. You had a whole bunch of dudes working their way back from long-term injuries like Brandon Clark. But when this thing is finally put together and healthy, remember, this is a team that was a top 3 seed in the Western Conference the last 2 years they were together.
Yep.
So I think that the team that is kind of flying under the radar in terms of all things, whether it's win total, whether it's to win a summer or to win a summer league too. They're awesome. The roster's actually awesome. But to win the finals, to win the West, the Memphis Grizzlies for me are that team to start looking toward because I think they come into this season a little undervalued.
Yeah, to your point, 2 years ago they won 56 games. Last year they won 51 games this past season. Obviously the injury, yep, has derailed the season there and the suspension itself that's up with John Morant. I told Jared there was a team that I already saw that their wins
were
moved up by one.
Yeah, I
want to
hear what this is.
This team, of course, is the San Antonio Spurs with Victor Wembanyama. It opened 34.5. Now it's 35.5, and it's still juiced to the over.
Yeah.
Any interest on the San Antonio Spurs with Wemby now going into year two?
Nah, I mean, a little, but I think we're kind of in the range of we're getting a little too high. I mean, look, San Antonio might have some solid upside, and Chris Paul and Harrison Barnes are really good players to add to this roster. I think they are going to be willing to play their role as veterans to allow guys to grow. They're going to be better than last year. But this is still a team that when Wembanyama was on the floor was absolutely abysmal, that still has some questions in terms of its depth. I think I can understand it, but I think this is the summer of the overrated Spurs. I mean, you see the win total where it's at. You see Wembanyama opening $1.70 favorite, minus 170 to win defensive player of the year, minus 250 in other spots.
Wow.
Like everything Spurs related for a team that has its win total, for a team that has its odds, is very much smacking of overvalued. And I think I'd rather go in the other direction with San Antonio.
But here's the counter argument. Isn't it that like by the end of the season, would it surprise you if Wemby's the best player in the league? And like if that's the ceiling for him, usually that player doesn't have a win total of 35.
I think it would surprise me. I would say this. I think our love for Wembanyama is just, but we're also forgetting like there was some awkwardness on offense. Yeah. And to be the best player in the league, you got to be the best offensive player as well. And I think that there are a lot of other guys who you'd still put ahead of Wembanyama. He's got all the makings of doing that, but I don't know if you're going to be at the point where you're taking a team that is going to have a win total 34.5. I mean, look at the teams ahead of them that they would have to somehow surpass, be better than. In the Western Conference, the Clippers are still going to be an adequate team. We have the Rockets, you have the Lakers, you have the Pelicans, you have so many teams, the Sacramento Kings. There's so many of these teams that are just going to cannibalize on each other that I do think it's going to be hard to push forward, to push for a play-in, win 36, 37 games, do those sort of things. And that's where I kind of have my hesitation. Kids are still pretty young. We're talking about, 19 right now? And I think that's where I would probably kind of draw the line with them.
Last 30 seconds here. I know your affinity for the city of New York. Talk about the Knicks and Jalen Brunson's very unselfish decision last week.
I mean, I think they're the second 2B team in the Eastern Conference. I think that the fit of Paul George, Joel Embiid, and Tyrese Maxey all together gives them a slight edge, and the fact that the Knicks are pretty small at center. Right? You have Mitchell Robinson, but you don't have much else behind him. You're missing Isaiah Hartenstein. To me, that gives like the Philly 76ers a
what if they go out and get someone, though, with that
sure, that's
flexibility?
The question, who is
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I don't know.
But I do think that they have put themselves in position to win a top two seed in the East and be very competitive, obviously. Yeah.
The New York Knicks win total 52.5 over at DraftKings. Real quick before we let you go, who are you going to be in the NCAA 25 game?
Dynasty is going to be Hawaii. We're going to start with Bay. They got like the third best quarterback in the Mountain West. Win total 4.5. It's fair. You know what I mean? Come on.
Okay.
Hawaii to the CFP.
Yeah,
in JBT's
right.
World. All right, we'll be back on the other side. This is Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back. This is Sharp Money here from the D at Bar Canada. Femi Abebefe, Jared Smith, we're filling in for Patrick Maher and Dustin Sweetelson. Two of them enjoying some nice time off here in the month of July. We just had Jonathan Von Tobel on in the last segment. We thank JVT, our VSIN senior NBA analyst and also co-host of VSIN Primetime, which you can check out Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 Eastern Time. JVT and Tim doing Follow the Money this week, actually, so check them out.
Everyone's
from 7 to 10 Eastern. People taking vacay, you know? Last week, I was hanging out by a lake. I was in Chicago, so I can't complain. We're back.
Yeah,
we're back.
You're
at
right.
It.
You can't complain.
We're back.
Last week, I had to sit with this guy all week and do this show.
Well, I was having fun with you, but I guess.
Welcome back. Welcome back to start this week here on a Monday.
Just kidding.
Femi, it's funny. I think in the 3 weeks that I've covered for Dustin, I'm probably going to create about 10 different group messages with hosts.
Oh, my God.
So yesterday, with you guys, it's a new one. Tomorrow, you and Samage, that'll be a new one. Then Samage and Joe Serralo. It's been
buddy.
Musical chairs.
It really is. But you're getting to talk to everybody, which is always nice.
You know what the good thing is that different hosts is that I can just kind of, all right, you guys talked NFC South. I can do NFC South a couple days down the line,
What you're saying is you're being lazy.
He's repurposing.
No.
He said I'm working smart, not hard.
But
work smarter, not harder.
I do have the graphics all made and everything, so it's like, it's easy. I could just copy and paste.
Listen, at this time
of year, the bosses aren't listening.
There's a lot to talk about, but there's only so many. Like, we can fill a lot of time, but there's only so many topics.
Yeah.
Get ready for football season. Come on. Let's fire up.
It's right around the corner.
Fire it up.
I was talking with our guy Benny behind us here at the sports book, the Circus Sportsbook here at Bar Canada, And he was mentioning how, like, hey, like, once we get to the Hall of Fame game, we're kind of just off and running at that point. And the Hall of Fame game's on August 1st. Today is July 15th.
Yeah.
We are 2 weeks from Thursday. We will have football. Now, it will not be, like, NFL football. They will be wearing NFL uniforms, but we at least will have football on our television to bet on the sides, totals. I don't know if the prop markets are open for the Hall of Fame game, but, hey, football's going to be here before we know it.
Do you bet the Hall of Fame game? Sorry.
Yeah, sure.
It's a religious experience.
If there's a bet to make, yeah. I mean, I don't know what the number's going to be. Is it? I don't think the number's out yet.
I don't know if it's, yeah. Let me check on that while you're talking.
I would be interested in knowing what the number is. I'm not one of those people. I don't discriminate what event is happening.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain events that I have more context for because I bet them historically.
Yeah.
Like the Home Run Derby being a great example of that. I don't discriminate anything. If there's a market available and someone has an edge, I'm open to hearing anything. Obviously, the Hall of Fame game, you've got to do your homework. I know preseason NFL is an acquired taste, but if you're doing your homework on the NFL season and you just happen to bleed over into doing preseason, there's a lot of value there. Mm-hmm. Now, but you just got to do your homework.
And like if you follow a lot of the beat writers, the national writers, like you do typically for the season, they're all tweeting about like which quarterbacks are going to play,
you just do
how
homework.
Much time. It's not even that
homework.
Hard to do the homework. It's out there. You just got to go do it.
You just got to do the legwork. I think we live in a culture where people want the picks fed to them. The best content I do is when I just literally give out picks, like no explanation. Know anything. Like, you're just like, here's what I'm betting on.
You're most engaged with content.
Yeah, like, that based off of the market research I've done, people don't care. They just want the bets. Yeah. So if
in
you
fairness,
feel like you can have the edge based off of the homework you've done, yeah, it's going to, A, you're going to do well on socials, and B, if you have an edge, you've got an edge. I don't care what the sport is.
Yeah, and in fairness to our viewers or listeners or people out there who might just want those picks,
sure,
they got jobs. You know, they got 9-to-5s, they got something going on.
This is our job.
This is our job. So we can go ahead and get into the nitty-gritty and do the homework and do that stuff. And that's why you listen to us, that's why you watch us, is that we can go ahead and hopefully give out some winners, which hopefully we'll give out some home run derby picks a little bit later on.
I'll be honest. I typically, and I'm sure this is the kiss of death, I typically do well in this event. I feel like this is an event that I see the field clearly, and I'm good at analyzing the psychological element to it, which I think has more of a factor than people think in this event.
To answer your question on the Hall of Fame game real quick, I know this is kind of off track what you're talking about with the Derby.
Sure.
Bears favored by 4, totals 40.
Against who?
Against the Houston Texans.
You would assume that Caleb Williams gets at least one series.
I mean, he's got to, right?
One series rookie, right?
I think he has to.
One series.
Yeah, it'll be one series, but he has to play.
I'd be interested in betting a first quarter under there.
Yeah.
I don't know. Off the top of my head, that's the first thing that comes to mind.
I know
he's got to get at least one throw of like 20-plus yards. Let's see what the arm's like.
I just want to see a series.
Yeah,
they can hand it off 3 times and they could punt. I just think they need to give him – don't have the actual preseason opener – be his first action.
Yeah, because I think because the fact that he is a rookie, like you're not going to too cool for school when you're a rookie. Like you're going to go out there for a series. It's like the first, the opener, I think the
literally
official
have
week
him
one,
hand off three
I think,
times.
I think maybe we'll probably see him for like a couple series, maybe even a quarter. I know like it's becoming more and more like in vogue to not play in the preseason. I think that's very strange, but that's just what it is.
Caleb Williams is going to play.
I think he'll play a series. Yeah, he'll play a series. Like the rookie quarterbacks will be out there playing, but it'll be like you're not going to see C.J. Stroud. Like, you're not going to see him at the Hall of Fame game. You might not even see him at all in the entire preseason. Who knows?
We saw Stroud is dead. And I think overall, the Texans, I'm a sell early in the year. I think the Texans are going to be hyped up pretty high.
I think I'm just a sell overall on that team.
You know, you mentioned that, like, guys not playing in the preseason. You know what team does play a lot of their starters, at least the last game, is the Chiefs.
Kansas City Chiefs, yeah.
That's an interesting one. I didn't know
all they do is just, you know, win Super Bowls every year.
I think you need at least one game just to knock the rust off.
Like, this is, like, I will go on a soapbox about this because, like you mentioned, Patrick Mahomes comes out and says, I want to feel game speed. I want to feel getting hit. I want to feel – because, like, you know, training camp, they can do, like, the inter-squad scrimmages, and more teams kind of lean on that now. They're like, oh, we get great work. But it's still a controlled environment. The game is uncontrolled. They can hit you in the game. They're not going to hit you in a Chiefs versus
whatever. Somebody hits you in a scrimmage, there's going to be a massive brawl.
Exactly. Yeah. There's a friendly agreement of, hey, we're not hitting quarterbacks. But in the game, there's none of that. And he wants to feel that and like get that urgency to where he knows that he's prepared to go week one and ready to be playing. So like the guy who literally wins MVPs and wins Super Bowls almost every year is saying he needs to play in the preseason. Everyone else is like, whatever.
Tough those first 5 weeks.
Oh, you got to be ready.
I mean, I'll be honest.
There's no time for rust for that schedule.
I don't like their win total just based off of that.
Are you ready to go under on the Andy Reid team?
No, I'm not ready to bet under, but I'm not interested in the over. I'm not interested in betting
them to win
the division either, even though they've dominated. I mean, goodness gracious, they legitimately could start 2-2.
It wouldn't surprise me.
It would not surprise me at all if they started 2-2.
I mean, shoot, they lost to the Raiders on Christmas last year.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the trouble spots, too. I mean, let me pull up the matrix and see if there's any situational angles that I'm missing here for that little stretch of games. Because that's a really tough game going to Vegas again this year in between a trip to San Francisco and a Tampa Bay Monday night game. Mm-hmm. So that's another tricky spot where they face the Raiders on the road. That I'm not saying they're going to lose that game. And if you look at the numbers right now, they're a 5-point favorite there in that spot. But that's an easier spot for Vegas because their game before then is, you know, a game against the Rams, which I know is, you know, it's not a cupcake, but that's a tough lead-in game to the Raiders. So we'll see what Kansas City has in the tank for that game. And then you look at the back half at the Steelers on Christmas Day. Obviously, the Texans game is going to be highly charged. And in Mile High, you know, that's not an easy place to finish the season in first week of January. So at Cleveland, I mean, the beginning and the end to that schedule is really daunting.
I almost kind of want to have that Raider game circled, that first one, week 8, Chiefs at Raiders, because I don't know if you remember earlier in the offseason, Antonio Pierce on Max Crosby's podcast talking about how they had the Mahomes rules after the way they beat them on Christmas, and talk about, hey, like, you know, like, we similar to how the bad boy Pistons were beating up Michael Jordan. That's how we wanted to defend them. I think Patrick Mahomes is one of those psycho competitors. I think he has that circled. I think that's one that, like,
game's a letdown spot for them in the week before. That's a good spot for the Niners then, maybe.
I think that if the number is reasonable, like, obviously you said it's 5 right now, it'll obviously probably be different by the time we get their injuries, whatever, all that stuff happens. We'll find out more information about the Raiders, who they're starting at quarterback. But if it's a reasonable number, like under a touchdown, I think I might lay it with Kansas City.
I think it's going to be.
Are we sure? I mean, what if Minshew and O'Connell look like disasters?
Look at the headlines right now. It's Kansas City -5. Kansas City -5 at Vegas in that game. Here's the question, and this is kind of a glimpse inside of my brain when I go through an NFL
season.
Let's
peel it open. Let's do it.
So I'm looking at that spot right now, Kansas City at San Francisco, the week after the bye for Kansas City, right? We're going to hear a lot of Andy Reid off the bye trends. Yep. But listen, San Francisco is a very formidable team, and they have extra rest too leading into that game because they are at Seattle on Thursday night. So they will have 10 days off heading into that game.
It's like a neutered bye week for KC.
Not really the full bye week advantage. I think, like, if I had to project, what I usually do right now is I go through the schedule, especially for the big teams, and I kind of circle spots. Mm-hmm. I'm circling that spot right now. Right now it's San Francisco -2 at home versus Kansas City in week 7. And I'm thinking to myself, I could see that being 3 by the time we get to week 7.
It wouldn't surprise me.
So that's like a spot where I'm like, okay, in the offseason it was 2. I'm not saying I'm going to bet it now, but to me that is like, hey, if that gets to 3 by the time we get to that week, that's when, okay, now maybe Kansas City has some value.
Revenge
so
angle.
My brain kind of just like goes through each week and just tries to like map things out.
Niners revenge angle from the Super Bowl.
Could be. But -3, I think I like San Francisco.
Let's talk some Major League Baseball awards next year on Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
You are absolutely sleeping if you haven't checked out Adam Burke's Major League Baseball Home Run Derby article over on VSiN.com. It has all his predictions, analysis, a full breakdown, and what you need to know before you dive into the markets. Home Run Derby tonight down in Arlington, Texas. Check it out, VSiN.com. As well as if you want to become a subscriber, VSiN.com/ subscribe. Welcome back. This is Sharp Money. He's Jared Smith. I'm Femi Abebefe. We're hanging out with you guys here from Bar Canada at the D in downtown Las Vegas. Nick Whalen of RotoWire will join us at the top of the next hour to break down some NBA and some NFL as well. The whole RotoWire crew in Las Vegas. So good to have Nick on for a couple of segments here. But Jared, we got the Home Run Derby tonight. We are at the All-Star break, which I think is a good time to go ahead and take some inventory of where we're at with a lot of these Major League Baseball awards and futures markets. Before the show, we were having a fun debate on the National League Cy Young market. I believe you are invested in the rookie phenom, Paul Skenes. But just based on where we're at right now in that market with Chris Sale and Zach Wheeler kind of being co-favorites, is there a bet to be made right now at the current prices?
No. Not at the current prices. So as Paul was going through his no-hitter bid the other day. Yeah.
Should have let him continue.
Yeah, maybe. I think the response we got from Pittsburgh was well-suited. It wasn't an innings thing. He just was gassed. And I thought that was the right move to take him out if he was gassed, because you don't want him to go out there and be, you know, injured because he's tired and makes a throw out of his mechanics. So I you got to listen to your body. And you've got to, you know, do right by the pitcher for sure. And I think I was okay with it. At the time, I understand why people were upset. But I think after, you know, he came out and said his body was cooked, even Paul was like I was gassed. Like, all right, even Paul was saying I probably need to come out of the game. So that, I mean, how can you say, you know, fault the guy for just listening to his body? I think when you look at this market now, it's been bet to the proper number, where Paul Skenes is the third guy on the list, and he probably deserves to be third on the list. There was a big gap between him and the top guys up until that start. I think it was on Friday. MGM was slow to move. They had 18 to 1 during that start. Rest of the market was at 10. I thought confident it was going to keep coming down, so I bet 18 to 1. It has kept coming down. But now we have to reassess, right? New information, new opinion.
Yep.
You reassess your opinion based off the current prices. I think the current prices are fair. I think maybe in 1 out of 10 scenarios, Paul Skenes wins this thing. Maybe 2 out of 10 scenarios, Paul Skenes wins this thing. I think that one scenario, in my mind, he continues to pitch at this level for another 70 or so innings. I think 130 is the floor. I'd like to see him get to 140. I don't know if he can, but that's the number I'd like to see him get to in innings. Because right now, the thing that is separating him from those other top two guys is not the quality of the stuff. It's the volume. It's the quantity of the stuff that is separating Chris Sale and Zach Wheeler. They're basically throwing twice the amount of innings that Paul Skenes has thrown. Now, again, those 66 and a third innings that Skenes has thrown compared to the 120 or so that the other guys have thrown, not as good. A little bit more watered down. It's like when you buy the top shelf stuff compared to maybe the second tier liquor at the bar. I'm not saying that Sale and Wheeler aren't deserving of it. I just think if you asked me pound for pound best stuff in baseball this year, it's been Skenes. But he hasn't done it as long. So that's going to be what you're betting on in the second half. Can the longevity and can the other two guys continue their longevity, right? Maybe Zach Wheeler misses two starts. What if the Phillies go into a little bit of a slump, Zach Wheeler's back is hurting him, and Philly says, listen, Zach, you have two choices here. We can push through this and you can win the Cy Young, or we could shut you down for 2 or 3 weeks, recalibrate, refresh, and get you set for October. What's Philly's bigger picture? What is Atlanta's bigger picture? Those are the questions that I have when you're dealing with this market. Now, again, I think it's priced fairly right now, but I do think I see a path to Skenes winning it. I do see a path.
Yeah, the innings is always going to be the big thing with Skenes here, because like you mentioned, it's like he's only at 66 in the third, and these other guys are at a much bigger, like Sale's at 110 innings. I believe Zach Wheeler right now, he is at 116 and two-thirds innings. So like those guys have a lot more volume, and that is the thing like with Skenes. It's like while he's been incredibly dominant, when you extrapolate this over the course of, let's say, 130, 140 innings, will he be able to maintain this level of dominance? Now, he's a generational pitching prospect, so I guess how much money are you going to make trying to bet against that?
The exception.
Does he actually do it?
That's where I keep going back. Like, our usual brains gravitate towards what we've seen over the, like most of the time, right?
Yeah, what typically happens.
What typically happens in these scenarios is the flamethrower runs out of gas. But everything I've seen up to this point with Skenes at least gives me the option. I want to keep that option open in my mind when I'm playing the mental gymnastics here, that he might be the exception to the rule. Because every once in a while, a generational pitcher does come around. We did see this happen before with Fernando Valenzuela. Rookie of the year, Cy Young, same year. He was a generational pitcher. I think I would put Paul Skenes in that category.
I think nobody's arguing now.
And again, I think we can argue the semantics of the innings pitched, and I agree that that is the hang-up. But at 18-1, which is where he was on Friday, that bet was mispriced. He needed to be ahead of Logan Webb. He needed to be ahead of Glasnow, who's injured right now. He needed to be ahead of Ranger Suarez, who's coming back down to earth after a great first half. I think there's only two pitchers in baseball right now that can beat him for this award, and they're the two guys in front of him. So I think the market's priced fairly.
Yeah, Sale and Wheeler right now are the two guys that are the kind of co-favorites like we mentioned here. I think that Sale should probably be the favorite. The only reason Sale, I think, is not a bigger favorite is because of the injury history, that people are kind of skeptical of diving in. I was like, all right,
well, he
always got to be worried.
Well, he leads above replacement right now in the first half.
Exactly.
In the National League.
Like, he's been stellar, and it's welcome back, Chris Sale.
He does deserve to be the favorite.
Yeah.
And Wheeler just got pushed back.
Yep.
And we don't know what his back situation is. And I know he hasn't missed a lot of time, but let's be honest. He just missed a start. And if he misses another one after the break, all of a sudden that 200 innings turns into like 180. And now it's like, all right, well, how big is that gap really between like 140, 130 for Skenes and 180? If it's 200, okay, you can make the case. But now we miss a start, maybe we miss another start.
So let me ask you this about Paul Skenes, who, by the way, is going to be the starting pitcher for the National League in the All-Star game, which is
that
remarkable.
Matters.
Which it does. It does matter. To an extent.
I think it resonates in the minds of the voters.
So his baseball reference war is high up there.
Yes.
His Fangraphs war is high up there, but not as much.
High.
There's a discrepancy because Fangraphs, they typically go based on fielding independent pitching,
yes,
which is FIP. Baseball reference goes more ERA-based.
Yep.
If you look at some of those underlying metrics, Skenes, while he's been outstanding, some of those metrics would kind of suggest that there could be a regression coming, given the fact that sometimes he leaves a lot of runners on base. I mean, there's been a couple of jams that he's got, bases loaded jams. Do you buy into the fact that he could regress, or do you think that he just has some of that special stuff that actually he gets better when runners get on base and sort of just kind of locks in and then shuts things down?
His expected FIP actually is better than most of the guys ahead of him. His expected FIP, 2.25, which is very, very good. Actual ERA, 1.9. I mean, he's in the 2.5 range basically across the board with the expected ERA, actual FIP, and expected
which
FIP.
Would say like, that there is some regression coming. Like, not a massive regression, but
a little bit of regression coming with a 1.9 ERA and a 2.25 expected FIP, maybe a 2.5 actual FIP. Wheeler's number is a little more elevated, 2.7 ERA,
yep,
but 3.4 expected FIP. Sale's really been the guy that is kind of
been as good as the
dead
production
even
said
across the board in terms of the actual production and the expected production. I agree. He should be. He deserves to be the favorite, and I think you can make a case for Skenes to win the award. But I think the price that we needed a market kind of correction with this award. Because I think if you were going to ask a lot of people right now, Paul Skenes is top of mind. He wasn't top of market. And now he kind of is top of market, right? I think this is the peak of his pricing. I don't see his pricing getting any shorter unless one of the other guys falters.
Yeah, injury or comes back down. Like Wheeler could definitely come back, not down to earth because he's a really good pitcher,
but he's going to miss a couple starts. And I think Sale's going to miss a couple starts because, again, you have to look at it in the perspective of what matters more to the Braves and the Phillies compared to the Pirates?
Well, do you think the Pirates that Skenes could miss a couple starts if they're out of the race in September?
I don't think they're going to be out of the race unless they really take a downturn. The wild card's kind of removed.
It is tight.
The wild card has removed the element of you're out of it.
Yeah.
And like I think they're like two back of the wild card.
Which is insane. Because the wild card National League is
didn't terrible. They and they just swept they sweep the White Sox, I think, over the weekend, or two out of three?
At least two out of three. They lost.
That's not saying
right
much.
There. But it doesn't matter. Wins are wins. They're in the wild card race. Doesn't matter who you beat. If they're in the wild card race, they're going to keep him open.
It's like beating sweeping the Panthers.
I don't care what the records are of the teams as long as they're in the race. I don't care who they beat to get there as long as they're in the race. I was very much in the camp of I think Skenes is going to get shut down. And then as we kind of moved into this middle ground of kind of the season, I started to feel less strong about that because, A, the Pirates continue to stay in the race, and, B, I think he might be the exception to the rule where he hasn't logged as many innings because he didn't become a pitcher until later on in his career, and his body's kind of built a little differently.
Yeah. I mean, I just think that right now you've missed the party if you're looking to bet Moskowitz here.
Don't bet
on
it
July
now,
15th.
But I still think there's a path for him to win.
Well, the party on this show here, Sharp Money, continues as Nick Whalen will join us at the top of the hour next year on VSiN.